From Storyflow, this is your daily audio brief for July 6th. Hey, it's Riley. July 6th, 10 things to be aware of before the day starts. Let's get into it. First, from Crypt Briefing, Tottenham Hotspur drops $133 million on Sandro Tonali in club record deal. So Tottenham just spent a huge amount of money on Sandro Tonali, a whopping $133 million. What's interesting here is that this is their most expensive signing ever, and it shows how transfer fees just keep going up and up. This deal is making people wonder if all this spending is actually going to lead to better performance on the field, or if it's just going to put a strain on the club's finances. It's a pretty big risk, but I guess we'll just have to wait and see how it all plays out. Next, second, from Bloomberg Top, Trump set to travel to Turkey for NATO meeting. Trump is heading to Turkey on Tuesday, where he'll sit down with President Recep Tayyip Erdogan ahead of the NATO summit in Ankara. The meeting is set for the morning, and it's the first time the two leaders will talk face-to-face since the summit was announced. Later that day, Trump is also slated to meet Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. The two will discuss NATO's role in supporting Ukraine's defense and how the alliance plans to coordinate aid and security guarantees. Both meetings are part of the broader gathering of NATO members, which kicks off on Tuesday and runs through the weekend. The agenda includes talks on collective defense, strategic deterrence, and the alliance's response to the war in Ukraine. Analysts say the Turkey stop could shape how the United States positions itself within NATO, especially as the group looks to reaffirm its commitments amid rising tensions in Europe. Up next, third, from InfoQ, Cloudflare and AWS embed X402 agent payments at the edge. Cloudflare and AWS both rolled out the X402 stablecoin micropayment system on their edge networks within a fortnight, and the speed of that rollout is what caught my eye. The protocol, sitting under the Linux Foundation's umbrella, essentially brings back the old HTTP 402 status code, but now it's being used for tiny, subset transactions between agents and services. It's a neat little twist on something that's been around for ages, repurposed for a very modern use case. What's striking is how quickly the ecosystem is moving. Coinbase says they've already logged 169 million of these microtransactions in the first year alone, which suggests the network effects are kicking in faster than many expected. The payments are stablecoin-based, so the value stays predictable, and the edge-centric design means the latency is minimal, perfect for the kind of real-time interactions developers have been craving. The only big hiccup left is the back-office side of things. Enterprises are still wrestling with how to fit these micropayments into their existing tax and invoicing frameworks, and that gap hasn't been closed yet. It's a reminder that while the tech can be slick, the surrounding processes often lag behind. Coach thrilled by heart, belief, and pure will in Mexico. Jordan Henderson in hospital after injury in celebrations. A drained and delighted Thomas Tuchel paid tribute to a heroic performance from England after they emerged from Estadio Azteca with a historic 3-2 win over Mexico, handing them a World Cup quarterfinal against Norway. Still, the groundwork is there, and the next steps will probably focus on tightening those compliance loops. And then, fourth, from The Guardian Sport, Thomas Tuchel salutes heroic England players and says it feels like winning a final. Many of England's players fell to the turf at the end of a highly charged, emotional night, which they repelled waves of pressure for most of the second half after Gerald Quance's red card. Tuchel said the victory felt similar to winning the final and piled praise on the attitude of his exhausted side. Continue reading next. Fifth, from Namebury of the Day, Albertine. Albertine is a vintage-sounding, slightly aristocratic French name that peaked in early 20th century France and made the U.S. top 1,000 from the 1880s through the 1920s. It fell out of common use, but it shares the same clunky charm as Alma, Dorothea, and Clementine, and it feels both spirited and substantial. The name's recent buzz comes from Instagram mom Rebecca Woolridge, who paired Maya with Albertine for one of her triplet girls. That exposure has sparked interest in its nickname possibilities: Bo, Bertie, Alba, Albi, Bernie, Betsy, Ali, Bina, Barry, giving it a modern, flexible edge despite its old-world roots. If you like names that blend a French aristocratic vibe with a playful, bouncy sound, Albertine might be worth a second look. It's a solid, slightly offbeat choice for anyone who enjoys a name that feels both historic and fresh. Up next, 6th, from Peter Attia, MD, Building Strength and Muscle Mass, How to Optimize Training, Nutrition, and More for Longevity. AMA #71 rebroadcast. Large cohort studies link higher muscle mass to lower mortality, and a meta-analysis of resistance training trials shows modest gains in strength and insulin sensitivity across ages. For most people, 2 to 3 full-body sessions per week, each with 3-4 sets of 6-12 reps, hit the sweet spot. Enough stimulus without overdoing recovery. Progressive overload, adding a little weight or a rep each week, keeps muscles adapting. Protein matters, about 1.2-1.6 g per kilogram of body weight daily, spread over meals, supports synthesis. Timing isn't critical, but a dose soon after training can help. Don't forget sleep and mobility work. Quality rest and regular movement preserve joints and keep the nervous system responsive, which together support long-term strength and health. And then, seventh, from the daily upside, standing out from the single stock ETF crowd. As the architect in The Matrix Reloaded put it, the problem is choice. That's particularly the case nowadays for leveraged and inverse single stock funds, which are coming to market en masse to take advantage of some of the hottest companies on the market. Most recently, a flurry of single stock ETFs have launched, offering exposure to SpaceX, but similar treatments have been given to Nvidia, Tesla, Apple, Coinbase, and MicroStrategy. With Anthropic and OpenAI IPOs on the horizon, we can expect to see more soon. It's making for a complicated and confusing menu of funds for advisors looking to add leverage. Marketing is huge in this space, said Steve Foy, Senior Vice President of Trading at Tidal Group. Awareness is really the true differentiator. These types of funds have a short-term nature, so investors aren't committing to an investment they'll hold beyond a day or so. But they still have to decide between funds that are essentially offering the same thing, and often for the same price. Brand awareness would make it potentially likely for a trader to go to one brand first over another brand just because they are aware of this brand over another that might offer the same or competing product. Morningstar's database shows that there are 430 single-stock ETFs in the U.S., with the largest providers being Direction, Granite Shares, and AXS Investments. Morningstar analyst Zachary Evans agrees that brand awareness is key for issuers jostling for a spot in an investor's portfolio. There are a handful of single-stock providers that are fairly popular in the retail community, and the assets reflect that, he added. But branding isn't the only differentiator. Speed to market is another major factor for everything that's not the biggest stock story of the day, Foy said. It's about being there first and being available. That could mean offering a single stock fund for a stock that's not yet hotly watched, though it also means focusing on new, in-demand areas of the market. Volume also matters, since investors want to be invested in a tight market. Tax management can play a role, too, Foy said, since investors typically don't want to catch a dividend when only owning a fund for a few days. Risky business. Single stock ETFs can generate high returns, especially when offering 200% or more of the performance of an underlying stock that's taking off. But they come with plenty of risks, including the potential for outsized losses. Evans said to also be wary of volatility decay, a phenomenon where even if the underlying stock price goes up over time, the ETF doesn't gain the same amount and might actually lose money. That's why these products should not be held for extended periods of time, he added. The post standing out from the single stock ETF crowd appeared first on the daily upside. Next, eighth, from Bowtied Bull, cyclicality beyond crypto, fading the masses and more. Welcome Avatar, so far so good. We're seeing another bear market rally and suspect that there will be at least one more leg down. Overall, we're more focused on the social interest, on chain movements and time-based capitulation versus the monthly moves. Many people got sucked into Bitcoin when it went from 70s to 90s again, then 60s to 80 again, so on and so f up next. Ninth, from the Hindu top, questioning the hype around Uttar Pradesh's revenue surplus in 10 charts. Yogi Adityanath's talks about a revenue surplus in Uttar Pradesh sound impressive, but the numbers behind the claim tell a different story. The state's books show a modest surplus on paper, yet spending on subsidies, salaries, and capital projects keeps climbing, outpacing the extra cash it reports. Meanwhile, the fiscal deficit has barely shrunk and debt levels keep rising, suggesting the surplus is more bookkeeping than real cushion. The charts also reveal that tax collection isn't keeping up with the growing economy, so the surplus is partly a result of lower revenue expectations rather than stronger earnings. In short, the headline figure masks a budget that's still stretched thin, with structural gaps that could bite later. Here's to making the most of this historic weekend, whether you're glued to the World Cup drama or chilling poolside with a great book, and in case you're still looking for that perfect summer read. We've got 100 for you to choose from, recommended by some of the biggest names in showbiz, media, and beyond. And then, 10th, from The Ankler, 100 A-listers summer reads. A24 Google DeepMind fears NBCU breakup. Happy birthday, USA. Sony Pictures CEO Ravi Ahuja to Goff. Gavin Newsom, Jason Blum to Molly Shannon, Jay Ellis to Sherry Lansing, Amelia de Moldenberg to Franklin Leonard all reveal what's on their bedside table and why. Plus, we've also collected our top feature stories of the year so far from Sean McNulty's and Claire Atkinson's excellent analyses of Paramount's move to acquire Warner Bros. Discovery and what might still get in the way to Matthew Frank's searing take on Hollywood Nepo Babies and DeGen Penner's memorable report on why cigarettes are making a comeback. Catch up on our 2026 hits. And finally, as the industry grew increasingly quiet ahead of the holiday, Matthew made some noise with his scoop about an Academy shakeup, the exit of org veteran Tenney Meledonian, and a restructuring from CEO Bill Kramer. As AMPAs readies itself for the 100th Oscars and a transition from ABC to YouTube, expect more ripples ahead. Now, Isomy, the rest of our best of the week. Save our sets. A microdrama lifeline arrives with jobs. Elaine Lowe toured the newly built sets at Sunset Las Palmas, where an LA-based microdrama studio is betting that vertical series Werewolves, Steamy Bedrooms, and All Can Boy production. Anne Rice, Zombies and Netflix. AMC's plan to outlast the streaming giants. AMC's chief content officer, Dan McDermott, tells Leslie Goldberg about the platform's premium for adults strategy, Walking Dead plans, and a new A24 sports show. Vive Elmku. Hollywood works best when entertainment is the main event, says Richard, not a side hustle for a corporation. So, yes, he's optimistic about Conquest spinning off NBC Universal. A24, Google DeepMind, and the dangerous business of selling cool. Much of Hollywood doesn't just have questions about a new pact between the AI giant and the indie film stalwart. It wants it to fail. Eric Barmack analyzes the implications for both sides, but particularly A24 and its brand. Christopher Nolan and the short list of directors whose names open Move is the Odyssey sold out before a single review. Thank its director clout for that. Matthew reveals the three ingredients that turn a filmmaker into a box office draw today. Hollywood's hope or summer, doom on pause as America turns 250 under a dark cloud. Katie Rich reflects on how culture from the World Cup and the Knicks to Toy Story 5 and Project Hail Mary is having a deeply optimistic moment. Plus, Katie and Christopher Rosen check in on the coming Oscar race, with contenders like Project Hail Mary and Ford already on voters' minds. Taylor Swift, first comes love, then marriage, then Oscar in a Disney carriage. Sean dives into the nitty-gritty of what NBCU split from Comcast will mean for both companies and whether Netflix will follow its failed WBD merger with an NBCU pursuit. Wednesday, Right Arrow Hollywood stocks Q2 winners and losers. Tuesday, Right Arrow NBCU Netflix and the wild card M&A in the mix. Sunday, Right Arrow Supergirl. Jackass fall flat as Toy Story 5 rolls on Elaine. Natalie Jarvey and Sean dig into the Anchor's inaugural summer reading list and unpack why book-based IP is hotter than ever. Janice Min and Natalie break down who broke through in a week at Cannes Lions, where subtlety was not the name of the game. Can you explain 250 years of our nation's history through movies? Richard and Chris debate the films that best capture the American experience, from 12 Years a Slave to Armageddon. WSJ reporter Ben Fritz joins Sean to break down why Supergirl opened to just $38 million domestically, and what the result means for James Gunn and Peter Safran's DCS. Trait G, new from Natalie Jarvis Creator Economy Newsletter. Summer House Scandal and the Summer Reality TV took over Andy Lewis' latest IP picks. In her quest for an egget, Taylor Swift is gunning for an Academy Award via her Toy Story 5 track. Rob Ladon assesses the strategy. That's the day.